भजन विदये प्रेरयति मां तथा गोष्ठे काक्वा गिरधर्म्या त्वं भजामनः मनीषनाथत्वे व्रजबीपीनचन्द्रं व्रजभने स्वर्णिगतनाथत्वे तरतुलसखीत्वे तुलालितां विशाखङ्गशिक्षलि वितरणगुरुत्वे प्रियाशरो गरीन्द्रो तत्प्रेक्षा ललितरतितत्वे स्मर मनः वचिं गौरीलीले अपि तपति सुन्दर्य किरणि सचिलक्ष्मी सत्या परिभावति सौभाग्यबलानि वशिकारैश्चन्द्रावलिमुखनवीना व्रजसति क्षपत्याराध्या ठं हरिदायतराधं भज मनः समं श्रीरूपेण स्मरविवसराधा गिरिव्रतो व्रजे साक्षात् सेवालवनविदये तदगणयुजो यदजाख्याध्यानश्रवनति पञ्चामृतमिदं तेन त्यागो वर्धनमनुदिनं तं भज मनः मना शिक्षा दैखा दशकवरमितं मरुराय गिरागाय द्युच्छै समधिगता सरवरततिह सायुत श्रीरूपानुगाय भुवनगोकुलभने जनुराधा कृष्णा तुलभजनरत्नं सलभ्यते समं श्रीरूपेण स्मारविवसराधा गिरिवृथोर्भजे साक्षात् सेवा लब्नविदये तद्गणयुजो यदजाख्याध्यानाश्रवणनति पाञ्चामृतमिदं जनत्यागोवर् धनमनुदिनं तं भजमना वृन्दावने रमणरेति प्रसिद्धभूमौ तत्रापि कृष्णबलरामसुपारमूले ज्ञानं परं परमाय कृष्णासुधर्मचुकितमदन्दस्तु देवा प्रभुपादा नमो नमस्ते वन्दे रूपसनातनो रघुयुगो श्रीजीवगोपालको नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो नाउ वी आर गोइंग टू कंटिन्यू डिस्कसिंग द 11th वर्स एंड द 12th वर्स टुडे डिस्कसिंग अबाउट नाउ यस्टरडे वी मेंशन अबाउट द कॉन्फिडेंशियल एंड इटर्नल एसोसिएट्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड becoming attracted to the pastimes of the Lord, how one gets direct service in Vraja, and direct service is possible. On page 52 it mentions, direct service is possible only when the living entity obtains his original spiritual body. This direct service floods the heart with the inexplicable bliss and ever-fresh devotional sentiments. This bliss is increasing by leaps and bounds at every moment, and the devotee's heart cannot be touched by sadness or sorrow, because his sole concern is to serve the beloved object without the slightest desire for self-aggrandizement. So this is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There are two symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. One symptom is called Moksha Laguta Krit, that even the concept of liberation becomes insignificant. And then Sudurlabha, it is very rarely attained. Then Prema Bhakti has two qualities, those same two qualities plus two more. One of them is Sri Krishna Karshani, that pure devotional service is the only means by which Krishna can be attracted. And Sandrananda Vaseshadma, the living entity is plunged into various unlimited degrees of devotional happiness. So this degrees of devotional happiness is mentioned here, that the devotee's heart cannot be touched by any sadness or sorrow. So this is called Sandrananda Vaseshadma. So, in the shelter of Sri Rupa Goswami has been described about his instructions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, Upadeshamrita, etc. are to be followed and applied. To the extent that we apply them, Srila Prabhupada referred to in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu lectures in 1972, to the extent that we follow them and apply them in our life is the extent at which we get the mercy of Rupa Goswami. Now, he quotes very nicely there about the again, the five main symptoms of the five main aspects of five angas out of 64. Shraddha Visheshata Priti Sri Murtir Angri Sevane Srimada Bhagavad Tartanam Ashvado Rasike Saha Sa Jati Ashaye Sigme Sadho Sangas Vato Vare Nama Sankirtananga Sriman Matura Mandale Stiti Anganam Panchaka Panchakasya Sya Purabham Abhi Likitasya Cha Nihitas Shrista Bodhaya Punar Apyatra Kirtanam. So although, so it mentioned that one should serve the lotus feet of the deity, of Sri Murti with faith, especially with love. Two, one should taste the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam in the company of Rasika Vaishnavas. One should associate with devotees who are sajatiya, situated in the same mood. Okay. One should associate with devotees who are sajatiya or situated in the same mood, who are soft-hearted and affectionately disposed, and who are more advanced than oneself. One should perform Sri Nam Sankirtan, and one should reside in Mathura Mandal, or in other words, Braj Mandal. Although these five angas of bhakti have already been mentioned, they are repeated again in order to establish their superiority to the other angas. Now, I mentioned previously, these are on page number 58 in the book. Now, I mentioned previously that these five angas, this is in page number 52. Now, 52. So these five are enumerated in the morning program. So in our society, so that devotees may remain pure. So these should be always remembered. Rupa Goswami has reiterated them again in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2, 90-92, to instruct us all of their importance. So worshipping the deity, to serve the lotus feet of the deities by worshipping them, to observe the Hari Vasan, the Ekadasi day, Mahadvadasi day, appearance days of the Lord and other festival days, Tilaka Dharana, it's mentioned there. Respect Mahaprasada Mala and Charanamrit, and Mahaprasad food offered to the deities, observing spiritual vows, Kartik Vrata, etc., and to worship and serve Tulsi Devi are included within deity worship. Yet Ijakya Dhyana, Akya is glorification. Glorification includes studying scriptures, discussing Krishna conscious katha, congregationally chanting Hare Krishna, singing and talking about the transcendental qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Shravana Nati Panchamritam Idam Dhyana, meditating, everything pertaining to remembering. Remembrance of the Lord and his pastimes is meditation. Now, this is nice how Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting from Bhakti Sandarbha about different degrees. That smarana means to search with the mind. Remembering first the name, then form and qualities. There is nam. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, the name of the Lord becomes strongly manifest in their mind. Then the form of Krishna. When one chants Hare Krishna properly, then the form will become manifest. The form of Krishna will automatically become manifest. Nam. The form of the Lord, when one chants pure name, this is also mentioned in Hare Namachintamani. Then as one chants Hare Krishna with detailed concentration, the name becomes strongly manifested in the mind. Then, the next is the form of the Lord. The form of the Lord is heightenedly described in the Kama Gayatri, meditating on the 24 and a half syllables of the Lord's form in different stages of his body. And a half. 24 and a half moons is described. 24 and a half. Yes. That is described, the meditation on the Lord's form. Concentrated meditation on the Lord's form. So, next is Rupa And then along with meditating on the Lord's form comes guna, meditation on the Lord's qualities. So this is mentioned nicely. So next, so then Leela is after that. Then one advances spiritually and remembers everything pertaining to the Lord's, like his qualities, his associates, paraphernalia, and his pastimes, Leela. So according to Bhaktisiddhanta, Smaranam is of five kinds, five kinds of Smaranam. Smaranam is just a little search with the mind for the Lord's name, form, and qualities. It's called Smaranam. To withdraw the mind completely from external phenomenon, directed slightly towards or delve on the Lord is called Dharana. To fix the mind and thoughts of a specific pastime form, the Lord is called Dhyana. Now this Dhyana, when Dhyana becomes uninterrupted and gives exclusive bliss, it's called Dhruva Anushmriti. When the only object of meditation is spontaneously manifested totality, the mind is called Samadhi. There's a story about a devotee who, although it was situated in externally worldly duties, was absorbed in meditating on the Lord. He was a king, a Rajput king in Rajasthan. And so he had, his neighbors were rivals. The kingdom next to him was always trying to attack him and take over his kingdom. His rivals. So his kingdom tried to, his other rivals tried to attack him so many times, 16, 17 times or something, and each time they were repulsed because this king was a very strong Vaishnava. Somehow or another, through this rival king's spies, as he was always trying to probe a weak spot in this king's lifestyle so he could get an opportunity to attack, he came to find out that there was a certain period of the day when the king was not at all accessible. He never made himself accessible to his citizenry or anything. And that happened to be the day, the time of the day when he was doing his puja to his deity. When he did puja to his deity, he would lock himself up in his deity room and engage in meditation on the deity. And at that time, not even his mother could have access to him. Meet him. He could never meet him, could never disturb him, nothing. For the 3-4 hours that he did his worship, nothing disturbed him. Until he finished his meditation and puja. So, the king, this other rival king, knowing this, when this king was, the other king was busy doing his puja once he attacked his kingdom. So, because when the enemy soldiers were amassing outside the city walls, then the commanders-in-chief of his army became distressed and they tried to send messages to the queen mother that you must get your son active so that he may lead the charge against these enemies. Otherwise, you know, we'll be overrun. So she tried to call her son. But her son was absorbed in meditating on the beauty of Shamsundar and he could not hear anything. He was so deeply absorbed in meditating on Shamsundar that he did not hear anything. She kept calling, "Son, son, we're under attack, this, that." And he could not hear anything. So at that time, then, all of a sudden, then out of the palace came the king, came out of the palace, and he went to his stable, and he got on his horse, and he directed the charge against the enemy soldiers, and very quickly routed the enemy soldiers. He was brandishing his sword very wonderfully in the battle, and he was chopping and killing and doing everything wonderfully. And all the enemy soldiers were completely routed. So then, after this, then, after some time, the king came out of his meditation. And he was still gazing beautifully on Shamsundar's wonderful form. And he came out of his puja room. And his mother said, I kept trying to call you, but you did not hear. I fear that our city might be under control now by the enemy soldiers. What? The enemy is attacked. Really? Nobody told me. I tried to call you. You did not hear? So the king was bewildered. Then he heard some news that, oh, we have won a great victory. Well, who led the attack to repel the enemy? You did, sire. I did not do anything. I was doing puja. So in a dazed state, he went to the place where his horse was kept. And when he got to the stable yards, he saw that his horse was totally fatigued and exhausted. So he asked the stable keeper, who has ridden my horse? You did, sire. I am not so stupid to let anybody use your horse besides you. So the king was stupefied. What is going on? Then he went out into the battlefield outside the city gates, and he saw the carnage, all the dead bodies of the soldiers and everything lying there. And he looked all around with his head in a wonder, who has done all this? Who has killed all these soldiers? And then he's, while looking around, seeing all the vast carnage, he saw one soldier that was wounded. So he went up to the soldier who was wounded. It was a soldier from the opposite party.
He was alive?
Still alive. And he asked, who has done this to you? And he said that on your horse, we saw Shyam Sundar. He was dressed in your form and was looking very resplendent. And he had a very nice sword in his hand and he was very beautiful. So I was admiring his beauty. And then because I was doing so, he did not kill me. He just simply wounded me very heavily. But because I was a devotee and I noticed him, he smiled and did not kill me. Like this. And so then the king became struck with wonder. And he went inside. But it was remarkable that how, when his devotee was completely absorbed in dhyana, meditation on the Lord, so much so that he was completely freed from all external life, then the Lord himself took up the work to protect the devotee's kingdom and all the citizens. So when one is absorbed in meditating and worshiping the Lord, the Lord takes full care of that devotee. This happened only within the last couple hundred years. Within the last couple of hundred years. This story. This is a fairly recent story. So it just gives an idea about different levels of meditation. Hearing. Now when you hear about the Supreme Lord's pastimes from pure devotees or sadhus, is the process of hearing. By this hearing, the dirty things go away from the heart. Nati, offering obeisances. To offer obeisance to the deity and to the holy places that remind one of the Supreme Lord where he did his pastimes is called Nati. Where the Lord performed his pastimes, where the Lord appeared, like that, holy places. One should offer obeisances to those spots while one remembers the Lord. And it says, Govardhan Hill, Dhyanitya Govardhanam Anudinam, Raghunathas Goswami has directed this instruction to himself and to everyone else. The Govardhan Hill is the devotee's precious object of worship. Because the Lord, this is mentioned also in the Upadeshamrit, that Madhupuri Tatrapi Ratso Savat Brindaranya Mudarapani Ramana Tatrapi Govardhana. Radha Kundami Happy Gokolupate Premamritam Plavanat Kuriyat Astya Virajato Giritate Save Him of Vivekina Ka. Superior to Vaikuntha is Mathurapuri because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura is the land of Raja because the Lord performs pastimes here. Superior to the forest of Raja is Govardhan Hill because the Lord performed many specific special pastimes in Govardhan Hill. And above all stands Radha Kunda. This is Upadeshamrita, shloka number 9. So Govardhan Hill has a very high place in worship of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami also received a Govardhan Shila personally from the hand of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It mentions in his Stavavali, Gauranga Stava Kalpataru, verse number 11. Mahasampadadarat apipatitamu drutya kripaya swarupaya yatsviye kujanam apimam nyasya murita uro gunja haram priyam apicha govardhana shilam tadome gaurango hridaya udayanamam madayati. So it says, although I'm most fallen and wretched, the Divine Personality who saved me from the enticement of great riches and wife, by His causes mercy became pleased by placing me near Him, accepting me as one of His near and dear associates, putting around my neck, so that I would always have them near my heart, a garland of wildflowers, a gunjamala, and a Govardhan Shila. May that magnanimous Lord Gauranga always appear in my heart and flood it with sublime ecstasy. So this gunjamala was actually personally worn by Gauranga. And he gave that to Raghunath Das Goswami. Radhadamodar temple? There's two places in Vrindavan. It's a contentious issue. Some people say that it's in Radhadamodar or Radhagokula Nandakamplan. There's another one that is here. Nearby, not far from here. Raghunath Das. So it's different people say they have the Shila. Two or three places in Vrindavan claim that they have the Shila. So, to offer obeisances and worship to Govardhan Shila, and to think that Srila Raghunath Das never left Govardhan, so I should not go away from Govardhan. So, serving Govardhan has two meanings. To worship Govardhan Shila in the same manner with the same rules as the deities. This is also mentioned in Krishna book, how Prabhupada describing after the Govardhan Dharan Leela, when Krishna held up Govardhan Hill, it mentioned there that some devotees take small pebbles and rocks from Govardhan Hill. For worshipping this Shila is none different from worshipping the deity in the temple. And two is to stay in the holy place of the Lord's pastime, which is to stay in Vraja, meditate on the Lord. This is a different way of saying the same thing. Now another thing, even if devotees can't physically reside in Vrindavan, then they try to reside there, at least within the mind, by meditating on the Lord's pastimes and activities. So, standards, Janityago Vardhanam Anudinam Tamba Jamana. So worship according to proper standards. Proper standards means two different things. It means one thing for those who are serving on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. Proper standard means following rules and regulations, attending programs, etc., devotional practice programs. That's in Vaidhi Bhakti. And proper standards on Raghunuga Bhakti are guided by rules of Raga Bhakti, as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami, also described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in a book called Raga Vartma Chandrika, the moon of the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. That is described in Raga Vartma Chandrika by Vishwanath. Then there are other books describing the path of Raghunuga Sadhana. One is called Gaur Govinda Archana Parati by Dhyan Chandra Goswami, and also another Gaur Govinda Archana Parati by Dhyana Chandra Goswami and Gopal Guru Goswami. They both written Archana Paratis, how to worship the Lord and engage in His worship. So that gives you an idea about verse number 11. Now the last verse, which we're discussing today, Mana Shiksha Daika Dasaka Varamitam Maduraya Giragayat Yuchai Samadikata Sarvarta Tatiya Sayutha Sri Rupanuga Yahabhavana Gokula Vane Janoradha Krishna Tulabhajanaratnam Salabite. So these 12 verses, anyone who's taken shelter of Rupa Goswami and his direct followers residing in Gokula, sings these 11 verses that instruct the mind. Samadhi gatha, meditating on what they mean. It's important. I've seen many times in our movement that some devotees, they learn something mechanically. They'll memorize something mechanically and they won't remember what it means. So therefore, if there is something that we chant every single day, then we should practice remembering what they mean. Otherwise, it becomes niyamagra. It just simply becomes following rules and regulations whimsically without understanding why. For example, if we chant Guru Vastak every day, so some practice and some devotees. Practice is meditating on one of the translations of one of the prayers daily. Some devotees have done like this. While the Guru Vastak is being chanted, focus on one of them. What does it mean? Focus on another one tomorrow. In this way, while they're being chanted, you should try to remember what is exactly being said. Otherwise, close the door. Otherwise it becomes just a ritualistically chanting it. One should not ritualistically do these things. So, samadhi gatha sarvartha tatiya. If one understands what these verses mean, meditating on what they mean, then these verses will carry all jewels, all values to the reader who chants these verses with meaning. So this phalashruti is a blessing of Raghunath Das Goswami, that one who chants these prayers nicely, meditating on their value, then these verses will give all benefits to the reader. Sayuta, that devotionally minded, Sayuta Sri Rupa Anuga, that devotionally minded follower Rupa Goswami who stays in Vrindavan, Gokulavane, who controls their mind and senses, will achieve, they will certainly obtain the priceless gem of devotional service to Radha and Krishna. Etam Maduraya. Now, Etam Maduraya, one should sing these verses. You cannot sing something sweetly with a beautiful voice unless one is inspired. So it is important to sing these verses, having to understand what they mean, each one of them, the values of what each one of them means. Then it becomes a very, very treasurable thing to chant them, to remember them. And they're very nice then. These give all benefits, all values to those who chant these prayers. One who does so will certainly obtain devotional service to Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So now in Bhajana Darpan commentary, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes more from page number 57. That the followers means to relish devotional service in the company of devotees that are of the same taste. They have a compassionate mind. They're compassionate means that they protect the devotee from fall down. They protect the devotee from anarthas. That is called compassion. To watch somebody fall down without warning them, without discussing it with them, is not compassion. Compassion means to protect another devotee. Compassion means to always talk about Krishna consciousness with such a devotee. That constitutes compassion. Compassion means always to push another devotee towards Krishna. That's called compassion. So, living with the devotees that have the same disposition as oneself, that are filled with compassion, not only for yourself, for other devotees, but also compassion for other living entities as well. Jivardaya Namaruche Vaishnava Sevan. These three qualities are very nice, that way which religious principles become understood. Otherwise, there is no religious principles. To be merciful to other living entities, to have a taste for serving the Vaishnavas, and Nam Bhajan. These three things constitute what is real religious principles or dharma. Without which these three things, there is no dharma. There is no dharma. So, compassion means to give everyone Harinam. As described in Hari Namastakar, Jivardaya Sarva Dharma Sar. Jivardaya Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes what is really doing good for all living entities is giving this Hari Nam to them. That's the essence of all dharmas. So, more advanced than oneself, if one sees Krishna consciousness, as more advanced devotees are appreciating it, then it becomes conceivable for you. It becomes more than just ritualistic. You actually understand that it is possible that you could achieve it. So, now he mentions here that this being advanced more than oneself is a condition of devotional life that always is part of oneself. Associating with devotees more advanced than oneself is a condition. Because even in the spiritual world, devotees that are more advanced, you always like to stay in the company of somebody who is more advanced or more exalted than yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur then gives the example of Lalita Devi, that even though she is in charge of her own group, she's so exalted that she has her own group of gopis, yet still she's subservient to Srimati Radharani, etc. So many, many elevated Uttamadhikari Vaishnavas who have many disciples and lead many devotees to the path are always followers of Rupa Goswami. Now, he mentions, to back his statement up, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned, he mentions about the Yukteswaris or group leaders, how they follow Radharani. And this is described in Ujjvala Nilamani and Hari Priya Prakaran, verse number 61. Lalita Devi, we'll read that. Yutadi patve puchit puchit yam dadhana lalitadya shvesta radha radhadi bhavasya lobata sakya ruchim dadhu. So it says, Sri Lalita Devi and her other sakyas are each qualified leaders of their individual groups, but still because they're intensely greedy to increase their love for the worshipable object Radharani, to please her, they simply hanker for the position and mood of being her followers. They remain her followers so that she may be pleased with them. Now, the direct followers of Rupa Goswami, these teachings that Lord Chaitanya taught in Chaitanya Charitamrita to Rupa, the principles of devotional mellows and the process of worship and the process of worship and that Rupa Goswami himself followed is called Rupanuga Bhajana. Gokula Vane Sayuta Sri Rupa Nuga Iha Bhavan, within this material world, Gokula Vane, within any forest of Braja, any secluded spot within the area of Braja is referred to as Gokula Vane, the forest of Gokul. So, this means Mathura Mandal. So then in this Mathura Stava, in Stava Mala, he's glorifying it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quoting from Mathura Stava, is glorifying. So there are many wonderful prayers glorifying the greatness of Mathura. For ISKCON devotees, the most famous is, I just quoted it, is verse number 9 of Upadeshamrita, describes the glory of Mathura the glory of the forest of Vrindavan, the glory of Govardhan Hill, and the glory of Radha Kund. All in one verse. All in one verse. And so that's mentioned. There are many nice prayers here in this book. All this book is full of nice prayers. So there's nice prayers describing the glories of Mathura, very wonderful. I know there's another one in the beginning of Vrajavilasa Stava. It mentions there about Mathura Puri. It mentions Yadu Madhuri Devi Shadara Savade Smrite Kene Napyati Lolita Ma Padye Vrajastana Kilang Vrajangscha Natva Svanato Patato Dudrukshe. He said, having tasted a little drop of the nectar of the divine youthful couple of Vraja, my heart is dying, Raghunath Das Goswami says, to taste a little nectar and glorify them with verses. So I bow down to the land and the people of Vraja, and I learn to see my two masters. He said, Vaikunthadapi sodharatma javrata dvarapati sapriya. He said, better than Vaikuntha is the place of Dwarka, where the Lord resides with his elder brother. Yatra Sri Shatanindi Pati Mahashi Vrinde Prabhu Kilati. And the Lord plays with many, many queens, each rebuking the beauty of many, many goddesses of fortune. And he goes, Prema Kshetra Masota To Pimatura Prashter Harera Janamato. Better than that, he said, of Dwarkapuri is Mathurapuri, where it's called Prema Kshetra because the land gives love of Godhead for those who reside there. Because the Lord appeared there. Prashter Harera Janamato. Yatra Sri Braja Eva Raja Titaram Tameva Nityam Bhaje. And therefore I always worship that land of Mathurapuri, where the Lord took his birth. That's wonderful. So that's verse number 4. Then he mentions, Yatra kridati madhava priyatamai snigda saki nam kuli. There, in that land of Mathura, is where the Lord plays his wonderful pastimes, along with his friends and his tower girlfriend. And he engaged in ecstatic, loving pastimes of herding the cows with Balaram and the others. There's an unbelievable sweetness appears in the heart of one who worships the Lord in Mathura. That place, Vrindavan. I always reside in Vrindavan and worship that place. An indescribable sweetness occurs in the heart of one who relishes and stays in this place. Of Vraja, which is more dear even than the land of Mathura, I always take shelter. Raghunath Das Goswami says in Vrajavilasa Stava. So in this case, we see that even beyond Mathura Puri, the land of Vrindavan has a special sweetness which is unique. So here we see in this Stava Mala and Mathura Stava, there's 1, 2, 3, 4. There are four different glories. Now, Vrindavan Dham is also very special. So in Stava Mala, Rupa Goswami describes the glories of Vrindavan. And here, he describes the whole Astakam, Vrindavan Astakam. Mukunda Murali Rava Shavana Pula Hridava Lavi Kadamba Kakadambita Pratikadamba Kunjantara Kalindi Giri Nandini Kamala Kundalanu Lolina Sugandar Nilina Me Sharanamastu Vrindatavi. Now it mentions there, Sri Vrindavan's luxurious groves of Kadamba trees abound with gopis whose hearts are greatly delighted upon hearing the melody of Krishna's flute. And those groves are more fragrant to the gentle breeze carrying the scent of lotus flowers. May that Vrindavan be my shelter. Vikunta pura sangshayad vipinato pinishayasad sahasra gunatam shriyam paduhati rasashayasim chaturmukamukera pis prahititarna dehodababa gajada guru viragrimaye sharanamastu vrindatavi. Now it says here, that's the verse number 2 is very ecstatic. Vaikuntha is more superior to gaining liberation. Is superior to gaining liberation in Vaikuntha, the spiritual sky, and is more thousands of times more auspicious. And the land of Vrindavan gives an invaluable treasure of spiritual mellows of servitorship, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. And she's so influential that Brahma, the four-headed guru of the world, prays to be born there as a humble blade of grass and less. May the holy Dham Vrindavan be my only shelter. So these and other verses describe the glory of Sri Vrindavan Dham and how wonderful it is. So in this way, the devotee appreciates that by meditating on these verses, which glorify the essence of Vrindavan Dham, the essence of devotional mellows, then the devotee mind will become steeped in Vrindavan Dham and reside there. So these verses are very powerful. Now, instructing the minds of devotees who are sincere in pursuing a spiritual life of bhajan is worship. And these verses are very deep spiritual precepts of Rupa Goswami, are wonderful. Having received by him from Lord Chaitanya, the principles of devotional bhajan is received in Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc. This is Rupanuga bhajan, the worship following Rupa Goswami. Giragayat Uchai, singing sweetly, loudly, and clearly in the proper meter, in the company of others or alone. These 11 verses may be sweetly sung with a mute of humility and overflowing love. And Samadhi Gata, clear understanding of the purports. The recondite devotional essence in these 11 verses should be fully understood and then recited or sung. In this way you get benefit. So now, after having finished this discussion of this Phalashruti, the 12th verse, I'm going to briefly go over the whole essence of instructions that are mentioned here. First of all, going back to the first verse, Guru, the spiritual masters are two. You have your Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, and both of them are to be regarded equally. Goshte, the land of Vrindavan, as something which is very special. One resides there mentally or resides there physically, according to one's ability. Gostalayashu. The Gostalayashu is the Uttamadikari Vaishnavas who teach us about the Dham, the previous Acharyas. They reside there physically or not, but they are actually the real Vrijavasis, pure devotees. Sujane. Sujane were the devotees of the Lord, coming from four Vaishnava Sampradayas. They were known as Madhyamadikaris. And they keep us pure on the path of devotional service by teaching us how to discriminate, teaching us the science of devotional philosophy, and helping us discriminate. Bhushuragane. They are Brahmanas. They are Brahmanas with ornaments of knowledge and etiquette and understanding. They may be Vaishnavas or not, but they give us books of knowledge pointing to the Vedas that show us how to behave, how to conduct ourselves within this world. Therefore, anything which can be measured against Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu, then we appreciate it. And therefore, it's an aspect of Brahminical life to appreciate them. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami offers his respects to the Bhushuraganas, who teach us, following the Vedas, how to behave properly. They are generally kanishtadikaris, but still they're situated in the platform of sattvaguna and brahminical life. They're not ordinary kanishtadikaris in that sense, but they help us. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to them as kanishtadikaris. Could be lower class madhyams, could be, I'm saying, but they teach us how to, they are not in our, they may not be in our sampradaya, but they teach us how to behave properly like that. And so if you can see those instructions through Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then it may be accepted as favorable. One has to be trained to be able to apply Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Swamantre is your own mantra which you've been given by the spiritual master. Niksha mantras, like Gayatri, etc. And Sri Namni, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which we mentioned, the qualities of which we mentioned. Vrajanava Yuva Dvandva Sharane, the divine couple of Vrindavan, who are the shelter of the devotees. Sadadambam Hitva, having given up all types of pride, arrogance, which is the only way to worship the Supreme Lord and understand the Supreme Lord, when one's humility, crying out to the Supreme Lord with humility, serving the devotees without any pretense, without any arrogance. That is how one achieves the Supreme Lord. So, Sadadambam Hitva, Kururatim Apurvam, develop extraordinary love for them, like that. And Aye Swantar Datas, O my dear mind, Chatibirabhyache Dhritapada, I call out to you holding on to your feet. So it means that this, we should, by this first verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is encouraging all of us that we should invoke self-discipline by giving it ashtatattva, the eight truths in that first verse of worshipping the spiritual masters, worshipping the land of Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, the Gayatri Mantra, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, without duplicities, without devious mentality, with a sense-controlled mind. These are eight truths which are described in the first verse. Now, to continue it, still a devotee, while trying to live within this world, may have difficulties, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing. How can you live practically, execute your job, if you're going to devote yourself and totally to Krishna? So he mentions there that one should focus the mind on Krishna, dedicate one's work and one's occupation of the fruits of one's work to Krishna with devotion. And if one does so, following the footsteps of the spiritual masters, then one will not be bound up by the work of his occupation. While one does his occupation, you should remember the Lord and we should offer the fruits of the occupation. That way, one will be able to free oneself of any type of reaction, auspicious or inauspicious, as mentioned in the karmakandic sections of the Vedas. Therefore, such devotees, although there may be householders and they may be caught up in social life, they follow these social principles as much as they are favorable for the devotional service of the Lord. Not otherwise. Otherwise, in social dealings, there are so many things that one may be called to do just because one is married in a particular family and has specific social customs. But a devotee accepts and rejects those customs, local customs, etc., according to devotional principles mainly. Then, so he says, don't worry about pious and impious actions which are mentioned in the karmakandic section of the Vedas, but rather one should worship Radha and Krishna. And to do so, one should follow the footprints of your spiritual master, who is which you should consider as the representative of Krishna, and who is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, who is Radha and Krishna combined. So one should meditate on the spiritual master, following his instructions, because the spiritual master also guides the disciple practically what to do, what not to do, so that the disciple may steer himself through the maze of ordinary, mundane social affairs without contamination. This is why the Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus' instructions are important. And The spiritual master will generally take examples from the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, etc. That becomes the basis of the spiritual master's instructions to his disciples, although there may be some fine-tuning, time, place, and circumstance, which is a detail. Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar Devotion a detail of taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is the instruction of verse number 2. Don't become caught up in the material world of too many entangling social dealings out of fear of social entanglement or social problems. One should act responsibly without fear and with confidence, remembering the spiritual master, remembering Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna as the goal. And the next verse is described how one should hanker for perfection. Keep that greed always in the mind. And in order to keep that greed in the mind, wherefore we follow Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the spiritual master Raghunath Das, Saurabh Damodar, Ramananda Rai, these followers of Lord Chaitanya, we follow their instructions. Raghunath Das Goswami mentioned, if you want to become successful, then you have to follow, my dear mind, the spiritual master, etc. His spiritual master was Saurabh Damodar and Ramananda Rai, etc., etc. All those who did bhajan under the direct direction of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Puri, which Raghunath Das witnessed. He is telling the mind, all those instructions you should remember and don't neglect. Then, and he delineated himself also in Puri for 2-3 hours a day. Raghunath Das Goswami's only business was to report the glories of Gauranga Mahaprabhu as he heard them from Saurabh Damodar, who he witnessed with his own eyes, and from Ramananda Rai, etc., etc. His only purpose was to delineate those glories to the devotees for 2-3 hours a day in Radhakunda, aside from his own bhajan. Then, 4 is watch out for the tigress of impersonal liberation, the tendency to become attracted to impersonal liberation or desires for bhukti, desires for material enjoyment. These two things are described as witches which haunt one and stop one from developing devotional attitude. And so then it mentions about giving up the attraction for Lakshmi Narayan. That even although Lakshmi Narayan worship is very exalted and very wonderful, if our mind goes there, then we'll become attracted to that. And we may not become so much attracted to the land of Vrindavan, which is very special. Because in Vaikuntha, there is only 2.5 rasas. There is Dasya Rasa, Shanta Rasa, and Gaurava Sakya. Friendship with deep reverence for the Supreme Lord. So because of its nature of incomplete service taste, Vaikuntha is not at all attractive to the devotees. Although, as it's shown in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, sometimes devotees happen to go there, but their mind and heart is not satisfied as much as the unparalleled pastimes of the Lord in Vraja. Therefore, Vaikuntha cannot give attraction. As we mentioned also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Swanim Advadasikam says, Vrajara naranyada halivili sitam pavinamapi, even without the happiness of Vrindavan, then even the Lord's pastime outside of Vrindavan are no happiness for me, even though they're purified. Because without Radharani and Krishna's pastimes, there is no sweetness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. You cannot compare the sweetness. Sweetness, although it is greater than anything in the material world, granted by Kunda, because it is spiritual, yet still it is not as sweet as the transcendental land of Vrindavan. So, then the next one is to avoid the devotees from lust. Devoid the pitfalls of lust. There are 6 enemies that cross the living entity as they're trying to make advancement in anartha nivritti. And that is lust, greed, anger, etc. Avarice, envy, madness, illusion. These are highwaymen, thieves, that they put their ropes around the neck of the living entity, painful, horrible ropes of materialism. And therefore, one has to cry out to your protectors, your shiksha gurus, your diksha gurus, other devotees. This is why it's important that later on it mentions sahajatiya, one should associate with devotees that are similar to yourself, who are very compassionate and are more advanced than oneself. If one keeps himself always in such company, then these company will protect you from the attacks of lust, anger, greed, and etc. So it is proper that one should not be alone. Devotionally accountable, devotionally with people, other brahmacharis, etc. This way they will protect you. It's important. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, if you become attacked to these things, specifically at night or other times, then you must call out to these devotees, the army men, the generals in the army of the killer of Bakasura, Krishna, and they will surely help you vanquish these demons of misunderstanding or these lust, anger, greed, etc., which attack the mind and the senses of a devotee. So these are one thing. Take shelter of a devotee. Put your life in the hands of a devotee. Even Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was mentioning that to me. It's a very important devotional principle. And if you want success at any ashram and devotional life, to always stay with devotees, always put yourself. And if you keep yourself away from devotees, then you're calling spiritual suicide very near to you. You can compromise your spiritual life by remaining away from devotees. It's an unhealthy attitude. So, and the next thing is, even if you stay with devotees and you've conquered over lust, perhaps, or these other enemies, you may become very proud thinking you're better than them. So you may find fault with your other god brothers. Huh? You may engage in politics, backbiting, bickering. These things are described. You may think you're doing the society a benefit by talking destructive criticism or about somebody's ill-gotten gain or ill manners or something like that. But actually it is spreading prajalpa. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, such talk, non-devotional talk, not focusing directly on Krishna, is likened to be bathing oneself in the urine of a donkey. You may think you're becoming purified, but actually it's burning the spirit, soul, and the body and mind of the person. Such a person burns. As described in the Bengali proverb, if you hit a skunk, the scent stays in your hand. So if you're always critical of another devotee, of other things, sometimes even if it's true, then people will start to suspect that you have the same problem because you're always dwelling on it. Therefore, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami left it up to Krishna to do most of the cleansing work and chose to focus positively on devotional service again. So this is why that shloka is very powerful. Shloka number 6 is very powerful there. So one should give up pretentious attitude, duplicitous backbiting, fault-finding attitude. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how different people become pretentious. The svanistika sadhaka becomes pretentious when they consider themselves to be advanced. Parinistha sadhaka becomes duplicitous when they think that they're advanced. They are very good at following rules and regulations. And they become attached to that. But they try to keep men and money and women, accumulate things more than they require. Nirapekshas, renunciates, they consider themselves to be better than other devotees and belittle them, find fault with them. Or they may flatter materialistic people with the idea of getting assets from them, associate with them in the plea of engaging them in devotional service more than being engaged in devotional service. So such things are how in that verse how these three types of sadhakas can become pretentious or devious. That must be avoided. Profit, adoration, and distinction are described in shloka number 7 by Raghunath Das Goswami to be just like the wife of a dog eater. And that warns the devotees, because in any type of renunciation, spiritual process, loose following and associating with prostitutes or women of loose morality is very dangerous, and it can destroy your spiritual advancement. Therefore, because these things may look, profit, adoration, and distinction may look almost like the Bhakti Lata creeper. It is described just like the Sama grass. The Sama grass may look like rice, but it's not rice. An expert farmer knows it's a weed. So similarly, these things, profit, adoration, and distinction, one may think that these are the results of devotional service because I'm following in Krishna properly, pleasing my spiritual master properly. Therefore, so many people are coming to worship me, touch my feet, asking to become my disciple, or offer me money. But if I don't offer these things nicely to Krishna, or if I don't purify them and push them to Krishna, if I'm unsuccessful to push them to Krishna, then I'm simply cheating them. And I will simply be going to hell by accepting their worship. So one should not accept worship from anyone unless one can push. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, unless they can push them to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur described that. Generally, the humility is that one does not accept disciples like that. So profit, adoration, and distinction are subtle aspects of devotional life, which, as long as these things dance in the heart, real love for Krishna will stay far away. Therefore, Raghunath Das warns the devotees that even if you become free from ordinary lust, even if you're free from pretentious activities, backbiting, etc., etc., still, you should beware of profit, adoration, and distinction. And to get free from it, one should keep a close association with your spiritual master and other devotees, because they can see these subtle maya. You may think that you're doing all right, but they will see the subtle maya and will point it out. Therefore, one should always keep oneself devotionally accountable to some devotee, to superiors, so that they may watch you and they may protect you. It's very necessary. So the next verse is, I may not always have, verse number 8 is describing that, I may not always have advanced association to constantly protect me, somehow or another. So therefore, I have to cry out with a humble heart to Lord Krishna, the Lord of Vrindavan. And even though I'm a cheater and a rascal, even though I've wasted so much time in the past, I've committed so many offenses in the past, if I'm sincere, if I cry out to Krishna with sincerity, then surely He will tear my sinful desire seeds to pieces, grant me some service to Him, and engage me in the service of Radharani. So there we have the 8th verse. And then the 9th verse describes more about Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana and the sense of how to meditate. Meditate, you cannot approach the divine couple without approaching their friends and their associates. So he describes how to approach, how to meditate on Lalita, how to meditate on Vishakha, how to meditate on the associates of the Lord. And this way, get their mercy by which we can appreciate and meditate on the divine couple, Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So this is the aspects of verse number 9. Then, a closer examination is by serving them, by serving the Manjaris and the Sakis, they will get the chance to see Radharani and serve Radharani. So the descriptions of Radharani's superiority over as the fountainhead of Ladini Shakti, from which the pleasure energy and all of Krishna's pastimes and all the 5 rasas get their sweetness, flavor, and energy from Srimati Radharani, is described and glorified. And how she is more transcendental, and all the other emanations are all manifestations of her. Just like Krishna manifests himself as all the Vishnu forms, so similarly Radharani manifests herself as all the Lord's consorts, and etc. And all the pleasure-giving substances within the spiritual world are manifestations of the Hlidini Shakti, pleasure-giving potency of the Supreme Lord, manifested as Srimati Radharani. So Radharani's superiority is described in the 10th verse. And then the 11th verse, describing more about worshipping the divine couple by staying along with the association of Rupa Goswami and following their instructions, because otherwise other people's opinions for developing Raghunuga Bhakti may not be successful. Because as Narottam Das Thakur says, when I'm very eager to follow the footsteps of the six Goswamis, study their books, then I'll understand what is Yugala Priti, not otherwise. So we're very strict. Rupanugas means to follow Rupa's line and the six Goswamis' line. Then we're safe. So in that process of following, then we have to attend the morning program, follow the five angas of bhakti that Rupa Goswami was glorifying, staying in Mathura, chanting the holy name with penetration and details, worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. So those five things are most important. And in that context, then our bhajan will become more acute. Yajna, worshipping them. Akya, glorifying them by talking Krishna Katha. Shravana, hearing their glories from other devotees. Nati, offering obeisances to them and their pastime places. Raghunath Das used to offer 1,000 a day plus obeisances. It's a lot. Shravana, Nati, Panchamritam, Idam. These five nectarian things, by doing these things, you're actually worshipping Govardhan Hill. That's in 11. And one who follows these 11 verses very nicely, meditating on what they mean, these verses carry all wonderful benefits. And when you realize the benefits you get by meditating on these verses daily, then they carry all types of nectar to you. So when you're appreciating the nectar of something, then it naturally comes out of your mouth as song. Therefore it says, Gira gayat yuchai samadhi gatha sarvarta tatiya. When you're relishing something, meditating on what it means, then you feel like singing it. So the same thing goes for Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or any other transcendental literature. It's actually sung. The Vedas are sung. Because it gives a lahari, it gives a great sense of happiness. So when you actually appreciate Bhagavad Gita, when you actually appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam, when you actually appreciate Manashiksha, then it comes out of your mouth as song. You start to sing those verses. That's very nice. So in this way, we've summarized it. There's a lot of nectar in these verses. It doesn't take much to memorize them, really. There are only 12 verses. If actually you put your mind to it, it can be memorized in a matter of days only. It's just a question of putting your mind to it and practicing it. If you see that there's actually gold, there's actually some great value to be obtained in these verses, then these verses will become a part of your life. And you can use them so much in preaching to other people. You can use it to preach to the mayavadi of your own mind. And you can sing them for purification and offer them to the Lord. Like you offer any upachara, any item of worship, a lamp, an incense, fruit. So you can offer prayers to the Lord with devotion. That's another anga of the 64 angas of bhakti, is to offer suitable prayers. So these are some prayers that are noteworthy to memorize. And within this book, many other wonderful verses Bhaktivinoda Thakur has drawn to preach to us all about how important this book is. He's drawn on many, many, many verses extra. So we have a lot to memorize. So we'll stop here. What's your question, Savi Sachi? Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity. No, they have to have something to do. They should not make themselves free to have nothing to do. Otherwise, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. They should have something to do. Both. They should serve, they should do practical work, and they should hear and chant at the same time. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to comment that when his disciples did so, whatever service they did, cleaning the temple, working in the garden, you know, growing vegetables for the deities, cooking for the deities, writing books, anything, they should chant the glories of the Lord.
If one is not doing all this, then
it's incomplete.
Not sufficient.
It is not sufficient. Bhaktisiddhanta used to chastise his disciples. If they were just simply cleaning the floor and they were not singing about the Lord's glories, it is incomplete. No, it means it is devotional service, but it is incomplete.
Without engaging the mind.
Right. You engage the mind and the tongue along with their senses.
That actually means full day should be engaged.
Right. Right. Yes. Exactly.
At the same time, you can maintain your body by taking your duty.
Doing some duty. Brahmachari may mean that you have more time to read Shastra than others. But then it also means that if you have extra time, then you should be able to set a standard for yourself. You should be able to memorize more Shastra. You should be able to have put something in the brain. But you cannot keep it without preaching. So even in the Dham, there's so many visitors, just like here, within this temple, there are 2,000-3,000 people coming. It doesn't mean necessarily ignoring them. You should preach to them. You should meet them, preach to them. That it also means giving class. Brahmachari should give class. They should, by what they hear and chant, they should give class to other devotees. Learn something, teach others. Otherwise, you will lose it. You will not be able to practice for very long. It's been very well seen that devotees in the Dhamma, if they don't have enough engagement, they simply end up sleeping a lot. They'll end up sleeping a lot because they cannot engage themselves. They cannot engage themselves. Their mind will automatically wander to sense gratification because they cannot engage themselves fully. So if you do not have full engagement and the mind is the devil's workshop, then you have to engage it more. You have to have more practical engagement, suiting your nature, and at the same time, hear and chant the glories of the Lord while you do the service. If you do the service, it may keep your mind and senses busy. But if the mind is not focused on Krishna, then you will do it artificially. Like a pujari just offering incense without feeling why, without feeling love. Somebody just cooking. You can tell when somebody cooks with love or somebody just threw it together to get it over with. One can mechanically go through the motions, but without love, it's of no use. So both. That means you both, you do physical work and chant at the same time. Both. Right, right, right. There's so many different services to do. There are accounting work, managing work, shopping, cleaning, cooking, accounts, preaching, college programs, going out, meeting the public. Prabhupada never wanted devotees to stay continually in the Dham. Or if you're here in the Dham, then it should be understood you're preparing yourself for preaching. If you don't preach, then you will lose it. You have to preach. You may stay in the Dham temporarily for 1 year, 2 years, or something like that, but you must preach. Or like, for example, like Mandini Maharaj, for example, even if he doesn't live, because Prabhupada wanted some sannyasis to stay in the Dham, but they have to preach. What will they preach? They'll translate books, print books for the publics, and by those books going around the world, they preach. Even if they don't take a step out of Vrindavan, by those books they preach. They set an example. People can come and see. Then they'll take those devotees and serve them by taking them on Parikrama and preaching to them around Parikrama to charge their batteries. That's the duties of these sannyasis that remain in the Dham. They'll very humbly serve the devotees prasadam with their own hands. They'll take them on Parikrama. They'll help them. They'll instruct them. That's their preaching, even though they remain in the Dham. It's not that brahmacharis should just stay and don't do any preaching. When people come to them, they should preach to them. Sometimes go out also. Sometimes do Nagar Sankirtan in Vrindavan. So one should always preach. You learn something and preach it to your friends. Preaching must always go on. One should even if one resides in the Dham, one should keep a preaching mentality. Otherwise, the idle mind will definitely become a devil's workshop. You won't be able to maintain it. There was many devotees in the early days in Mayapur in 72, 73. Some devotees tried to chant 1 lakh. But Prabhupada said, look, they're Westerners. They will not be able to do it. After 3, 4, 5 days, week, 2 weeks, he left. He actually left Mayapur, completely gone. disappeared. They were not able to control the mind to chant one lakh all the time. They couldn't do it. They needed practical engagement for their Western mind. They weren't able to maintain that kind of retta. It takes a rare devotee to slowly build up your sadhana to be able to do that kind of thing. Every day, every day, every day. It's not easy. Therefore, because we cannot do it, when one devotee wrote Prabhupada in 1970 saying, I increased my japa to chanting 25, 30 rounds. But Prabhupada knew that he was a very semi-passionate individual, an American. He would never make it. So Prabhupada said, no, you should chant 16 rounds and you should go out. How many life members have you enrolled? How many books have you distributed to them? Go and do that. He wanted them to do that work. It was more practical for them. He was not satisfied. The Dhamma is not meant to become a Babaji. Kartik Vrata is one thing, Chaturmasi Vrata is another thing. Prabhupada also didn't even allow not everybody to do Chaturmasi. He never encouraged it. Only a few people, few sannyasis that were managers that were staying in the temple like that, maybe he allowed them to do Chaturmasi. But not everybody he allowed. Because they cannot live up to that standards of austerity continually. They'll break it. Yeah, some devotees do it. But then again, Guru Maharaj is not physically on the planet to chastise everybody. Very few people, come on. Very, very few people. Very, very few people can do it. Very, why? Because very people, because we're Kali Yuga products. Durjatareva savana ayogyate nihitam mukham. Durjatya Rabakam Papam Yatat Prarabdamevatat, because of our bad bodies, our bad birth, is the quality by which is our ayogyatve, our being unqualified. Right, but those devotees are, you can count them on your hands. Come on, look, out of all my God brothers, 4,770 God brothers, how many of them you can. Those are actually devotees of that caliber. You can count them on your fingers. Those devotees that are actually pukka, that are actually very, very pure Vaishnavas, you can count them on your fingers practically. I'm telling you practically, having seen it with my own eyes, most God brothers are willing to admit their degrees of anarthas that they still have due to their durjati, their bad birth, their low class American, Russian, European, Australian birth. Most devotees are ready to be frank and honest to admit that they still have many material desires, they have many, many coverings, they have many things from their. It's not easy. Many people will take many births to become pure. Those who are actually coming to the point of anarthanavritti, they're actually going into ruchi, ashakti, bhava, prema. These devotees that are actually qualified to obtain that platform are very few. Only a few handful. No. They will take a long time to purify their followers to that standard. Because they're taking their followers from the third class men. Even a first class Vaishnava initiates disciples from the Kanista Adhikari platform and he has to bring them up. Look, even devotees like just some of Prabhupada's God brothers that were very, very exalted, their present devotees that are serving in the position of acharyas are not up to that standard. What to speak of what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the 10th verse that you require a Rupanuga guru that actually can tell you your relationship with Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta replied, such gurus are extremely rare. That was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that. And devotees of his caliber were very rare. What to speak of now? Those that are doing this service of a spiritual master may not be up to the standard. We cannot hold a candle compared to our Guru Maharaj or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. No, I disagree. They are not, the quality is becoming lower. We cannot follow the standards that Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami established in Bhakti Sandarbha. We can only dream about it. What their standards of bhajan they did 400 years ago, which are mentioned in Bhakti Sandarbha, we cannot even dream about it. What to do? We have to do the best we can. Don't imitate. Don't imitate. Better to be realistic to what platform you're on. Try and be humble and pray for more, but be realistic. Very few devotees can actually come up to that standard. Yes, that we can continue for a long time. That's steadiness. When you accept any vrata, you should accept it so that you may do it for a long time. Don't change things. There are different levels of vrata. There are different levels of vrata Bhaktivinoda Thakur described. There are some vratas that are taken for one day, some vratas like Ekadasi day or something. There are some vratas that are taken for 3 days. There are some vratas that are taken for a week. There are some vratas that are taken for a month. There are some vratas that are taken for 4 months. So it's according to your ability. You gradually step yourself into these things. Don't do these vratas until you're ready. No, you should get permission from the spiritual master. No, I mean, these things, you should discuss it with your spiritual master. Let him analyze yourself to see whether you're fit for that thing or not. One should first, before one starts to consider, you know, accepting more and more vrittas on oneself. Because, for example, like I was describing personally, if a person is not doing the basics that Srila Prabhupada gave, and yet they're trying to artificially do some other vrittas that Prabhupada did not stress, then how is that following Srila Prabhupada? He never stressed that. Prabhupada stressed the basics that all Western devotees could follow and stress preaching. If you do vratas when you don't do any preaching, that is not as important as preaching and not doing vratas. You have to do both. You have to do things with a preaching mood. If you're weak, then your vrata is not proper. You have to accept vratas according to your psychophysical nature. You should know what your nature is. So, like, I'll give you an example. Subhag Swami used to do Nirjal Ekadashi. But by doing it, he ruined his liver and kidneys. He told me, my doctors told me my kidneys and liver were being ruined if I fast for more than 24 hours. My doctor said, according to our test, my liver was being ruined. I have to drink some water and eat something every so often. Otherwise, my body's organs are being ruined. So for years, he did that vrata. But it was ruining his body. Which meant before he did the vrata, he should understand what his psychophysical nature is. So according to your metabolism, different devotees can do vratas or not. And because of that, therefore, Vaishnava acharyas do not stress them. They are optional. They may be done. But it should be done with a devotional mentality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that in Bhajana Rahasya. Mitabhuk prasanna. You eat less, but your mind should be very peaceful to think of Krishna nicely. If you're too weak, this is why Bhaktisiddhanta was ridiculing the sannyasis. They could not preach on Ekadasi because they were artificially doing Nirjal Ekadasi. When you can do the same service and take a vratta, then you are judiciously doing that vratta. That means sometimes in emergency, I had to go out in the blazing sun doing Nirjal vratta. And yet I still did it because I had to preach. Preaching was the most important thing. Or like in Russia, I was doing Nirjal, but still I sat for a 700 shloka Gita pad because it's important to teach people about on Ekadasi to do devotional things. The main thing was preaching. If you can do Nirjal and preach, okay. But the Nirjal is subordinate to the preaching. That's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's instruction. If you can do Nirjal, okay. Because of that, when I asked different devotees about Nirjal, they told me names of disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta. That even though they were gurus, even though they had disciples, they never did Nirjal Vrata. They never did it. They didn't think it as important. More important is doing what devotional service that was natural. They didn't think performing such severe austerities was necessary for themselves or for their disciples. My Guru Maharaj never did nirjal vrata. Never. I do it, but he never did it. He never thought it was necessary. Neither was he attracted to it. His austerities were sleeping 4 hours a day, preaching this movement, and translating his books. That was his austerities. That was his bhakti austerities, bhakti tapasya. He was not interested. He was not interested in Chaturmasi Vrata. He was not interested in Nirjal Vrata. He was not interested. Does that mean that his devotional contribution was less? And his godbrothers never did Nirjal Vrata. Very few of them did Nirjal Vrata. Although some of their disciples did. They would not stop somebody from doing it if they want to. But they said, if you feel die, 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 then there's no use. One of them wrote me a letter like that when I was asking about it. About Chaturmasi Vrata and Ekadasi Vrata mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And he says, you can do it. But to my best of knowledge, he mentioned names of different godbrothers of Prabhupada. He never did it, they never did it. If you can do it, good. But don't be artificial. Most important is preaching. Any time you have to be able to do any service. Like if your service is taking care of something, then even if you're doing your Chaturmasi or your Nirjala, you have to go in the hot sun, you have to go work on the electrical work or whatever it is, building repair, you have to do it. That's the point. Don't accept vratas that you cannot maintain. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that vratas should be accepted incrementally. Vratas are always meant to be accepted incrementally. Step by step. Meaning, from eating twice a day, one thinks, okay, on Ekadasi, I will eat only once. Do that for 6 months or a year or so, every Ekadasi. And if your mind can do the same service on Ekadasi, then you can say, all right, now, instead of eating once on Ekadasi, I'll eat fruits and water. Then do that for 6 months, 1 year. If you can maintain that, anything up and down, back and forth, whether you're preaching in Ukraine or Russia or you're here in Vrindavan, then it's all right. Huh? Then you can consider drinking only water. And you have to be able to maintain it for years. Then after that you can think, all right, maybe Nirjal now.
Life will be finished.
No, you have to be able to maintain it for some years before you do these things. No, you have to be able to maintain it for some years before you can see whether you're actually able to do it without any physical problem to your body or mind or anything.
No, that's not the main practice. In many
years no, my point is this, is that the most important thing is to remember Govinda and to preach. Yeah, so you can accept these things only if they're favorable. And what is favorable for one devotee may not be favorable for another devotee in other circumstances. You have to see that, right? It is individual, and even if one wants to accept these things, one accepts them step by step, not at all at one time. I went through the same thing that you're trying to do. Like I remember in America trying to do Chaturmasi Vrata, or the temple president, I remember in 1981, 82, thought he would do Chaturmasi Vrata, and he started eating Havisha, you know, once a day, off a stone with his hands behind his back, and he lasted 2 weeks, and then he finished. 2 weeks or 1 month, and then he finished and broke. You know, like that. Then everybody knows that he can't do it. And then, you know, next year he would say he would do it, and he lasted 1 day or 2 days or something like that, you know. Because he can't control his mind or his tongue. It becomes a laughing stock, you know. Do what you can do. Don't do something you cannot do. All right. So we hope that you guys got something out of these instructions on these 12 verses. And I hope that you actually try to apply them, to chant them, to memorize them. They're very good. If you apply them in your life, then you'll get a lot of benefit. They're very powerful. What did you get out of it? What did you have any realizations from studying this book? Prophet Adoration and Distinction? I like the verse number 7, referring to that. That without, as long as the desires for profit, adoration, and distinction, then how will pure love of Krishna touch you? You like verse number 7? Good. Memorize them and use them in your preaching. Memorize these verses and use them in your preaching. When you lecture in your temple or wherever you go preach, use them. Quote them. Refer to them. We're not only meant to understand this Shastra, we're meant to imbibe it, and then we must give it out. We must, nectar should be something that we relish personally. Then we give it out to the world, to other devotees. That'll do good for you and for whoever you'll preach. It's important. Use these verses. These verses are great. Use them.